In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On Ascension Thursday, the whole church pondered how Jesus, at his ascension, enjoined the apostles not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which they had heard him speak, but which we heard him speak in today's gospel. For in a few days, Jesus said in his valedictory instructions, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The apostles and the other followers of Jesus very wisely huddled around Mary in the same upper room in which Jesus had given them his body and blood, the same upper room in which they had barricaded themselves after Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, the same place in which he had appeared to them on Easter Sunday night. And it was there that they all devoted themselves with one accord to prayer. They prayed together with Mary in order to learn from her how to get ready to receive the Holy Spirit. For it was she who was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit at Jesus' virginal conception and who continually lived as a spouse of the Holy Spirit, receiving and responding to his invitations in an exemplary way. And together with her they prayed and they waited. Jesus hadn't told them how long they were to wait in prayerful expectation of that pneumatological baptism. So their first holy hour stretched into a day of recollection. They eventually went to bed and awakened and prayed a whole second day. They might have thought that just as God the Father had had them wait until the third day for Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit would come after 3 days that seemed like an eternity. But he didn't come on that third day. So they prayed a fourth day and a fifth day. Now this was taking on the form of a retreat, a sixth day. Now they were doubtless wondering if the Holy Spirit would come on the seventh day, the day of divine rest. But thwarted again, the eighth day. Were they going to have to do this forever? The ninth day, the tenth day. And it was finally on that day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit burst through the windows of the upper room like the noise of a strong driving wind, came down upon each of them as tongues of fire, filled them with himself, and sent them forth to renew the face of the earth. It's important for us to ask, why God had made them wait so long in prayerful vigil. What are we to learn from it in order to celebrate Pentecost well? Some might say that God wanted them to wait until Pentecost, the day on which the Jews celebrated their harvest festival and the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, to show that the Holy Spirit was the law of the new covenant being placed within their hearts, and that he was going to be the driving force of the harvest of men and women, boys and girls, in Christ's kingdom until the end of time. Some might say that because those 10-plus days gave them a chance to learn from Mary about Jesus' early days, his conception, birth, his flight to Egypt, his being found in the temple, his hidden years working as a construction worker with St. Joseph of Nazareth. All of those reasons make sense. But I think the most fitting reason of all was because God wanted the early church to grow in the desire for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to long for the Holy Spirit's work and presence, to discover the reasons why they really, really, really needed his guidance and assistance, so that they, like Mary, would be totally receptive and responsive to the divine ignition he was going to turn on in them. Since that time, the church has wanted us to learn from the early church how to desire the Holy Spirit. The word that the church puts on our lips more than any other with regard to the Holy Spirit in this feast day is, come. We pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. We sing, Veni Creator Spiritus, throughout this decennarium of preparation. Come, Holy Spirit, as we beg the Holy Spirit to take up his rest in our hearts, to come with his grace and heavenly aid, to fill our hearts that he has made, to give us a sevenfold gift of grace, to illumine our minds, to inflame our hearts, to strengthen our bodies, to repel our enemies, to give us peace, to help us know God the Father and God the Son. We sing today, Veni Sancte Spiritus, begging the Holy Spirit anew to come with heavenly radiance as the true guest of our soul, comforting us, giving us rest and labor, refreshment and heat, solace and woe, cleaning what is impure, irrigating what's desiccated, healing what's wounded, bending whatever in us is stubborn, warming whatever is ice cold, putting us back on the narrow way whenever we've gone astray. But as these prayers indicate, we're praying for more than the Holy Spirit's arrival. We're praying for the Holy Spirit to come and change us, and through us to change the world. Lord, send out your Spirit, we implore God the Father in Psalm 104, and renew the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit comes to lead us during the confirmation rite. Yesterday was the 29th anniversary of my confirmation, and I pondered it throughout the day. We beg God the Father through Jesus to send the Holy Spirit upon us as our helper and guide. He comes to assist and to lead. To pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," implies that we're ready to be led and helped by Him when He comes. How? In what ways? First is in our prayer. St. Paul reminds us that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts so that we can cry out, "Abba, Father." To help us pray as confident and beloved sons and daughters who know that when they turn in confidence to the Father who loves us more than He cares for the lilies of the field and the sparrows of the sky, He will never give us a stone when we ask for bread. To pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," means come and change the way I pray. Second response is in our learning of the faith. Jesus said that He would send us the Holy Spirit to lead us to all truth and remind us of everything He taught us. Jesus Himself didn't teach us everything because He knew, as He said, that we couldn't handle it all at once, but that the Holy Spirit would come to continue to guide us through guiding the church. To say, "Come, Holy Spirit," means that we're going to correspond to the Holy Spirit's arrival by seeking to learn our faith better, to get to know intimately the sacred scripture He inspired, to become familiar and live according to the teaching of the magisterium the church He guides. The third is with regard to our Christian life. The Holy Spirit sent to guide us. St. Paul said that there are two basic ways we live. We either live according to the Holy Spirit or we live according to the flesh. To live by the Spirit means that we're constantly seeking what God the Holy Spirit seeks. To live by the flesh means to place our heart, our treasure in the things of this world, in money and material possessions, in carnal pleasures, in fame and power and influence and superficialities. To say, "Come, Holy Spirit," means that we want Him to help us to put to death in us whatever lives by the flesh, so that we might live totally by His divine inbreathing, His inspiration, as Mary and the apostles have done and as the saints have done ever since. Fourth way the Holy Spirit wants to change us is with regard to our recognizing our need for God's mercy and the frequency and the devotion with which we come to receive it. On Easter Sunday night, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit in the apostles and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Those who sins you forgive are forgiven. Those who sins you retain are retained." Priests pray in the formula of absolution in the sacrament of penance. God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of His Son, has sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, however, describes blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said is the one unforgivable sin, as impenitence, as a failure to recognize our need for God's mercy, or a failure to think God has the power to forgive our sins. Catechism reminds us there's no limit to God's mercy, but anyone who deliberately refuses to accept His mercy through repentance, rejecting the forgiveness of all his sins and the salvation offered by the Holy Spirit, is blaspheming. So to say, "Come, Holy Spirit," means that we'll regularly ask His help to examine our conscience, and then it means that we'll run out to meet Him as He comes with God's mercy in the sacrament of penance. The fifth is with regard to mission. How did the Holy Spirit come down on Pentecost? He didn't come down as ice-cold eyeballs. He didn't come down as tepid kneecaps. God, who could have come down any way He wanted, came down as tongues of fire to symbolize what He wanted to do in us, to help us to use our tongues to proclaim the gospel with passion. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be sent to give witness and that we would give witness with Him. He promised that we wouldn't need to worry about what we would say, because at that moment the Holy Spirit would be speaking in and through us. To say, "Come, Holy Spirit," is to get ready to burst through the doors of St. Agnes, the same way that Peter and the apostles left the upper room to announce the apostle in Manhattan, to announce the gospel in Manhattan, just like they did in ancient Jerusalem. In the final way we can focus on that we invoke the Holy Spirit is here at Mass. Pope Benedict XVI said in 2008 that the Eucharist is the perpetual Pentecost. Since every time we celebrate Mass, we receive the Holy Spirit who unites us more deeply with Christ and transforms us into Him. It's during the Mass that we have the Epiclesis, in which we call down the Holy Spirit. Veni, Sanctificator, we pray. To overshadow the priest in the altar and totally change bread and wine into Jesus' body and blood. And then we call him down a second time to change men and women into Christ's mystical body. To pray, "Come Holy Spirit," means to allow him to do this work. Today on this Pentecost of Pentecosts, in response to our vigil and our invocation, God the Father sends the Holy Spirit to fill us with fire, a fire that's meant to spread through all parts of our life. Today He sends the Holy Spirit to change us the way He changed the apostles that first Pentecost. Today on this feast of the birthday of the church, He wants to give us and the entire church a profound spiritual rebirth. Today is the answer to our prayers and the prayers of the church from the upper room all the way down to today. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Come, Holy Spirit, renew us. And through that rebirth, renew our families, our neighborhoods, our cities, our country, our culture, and the face of the earth. Veni, Sancte Spiritus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.